Faith, introduction. When we had a conference in Germany, in the city of Köln in 2016, in respect of integration of migrants in Germany, a Muslim student started a telephone hotline for German citizens who would be able to express their fears about Islam. This is because many of the refugees who had arrived in Germany in the year 2016 were Muslim. And in these conversations, the Muslim student did not even go into explaining any of the fears that pertain to Islam, or in fact didn't say anything at all about Islam, but posed the question to the caller, "Do you have a religion? And if yes, what is your religion?" According to the motto, "I have a religion, you have a religion, so where's the problem?" In the run of these telephone conversations, however, it soon became clear that many of those callers did not even belong to any religion at all. Even though they were expressing their fear of the downfall of the Christian or so-called Christian West, they did not have a Christian faith at all, but were simply expressing political fears. There we reach one of the huge problems when it comes to talking about faith, namely that faith is often mistaken for political or political convictions or cultural background. Therefore, many of the Muslim people in Europe think that in Europe everyone is Christian, and if a political party has the name of Christian in it, they deduce that this political party has a Christian program. And many of the German people who are expressing their fears about Islam in turn have the fear that this so-called Christian program will be replaced by a Muslim one. But these people do not have faith in Christianity at all, even though they would use the name or the word faith. Martin Luther, when he talks about faith, says, "Where your heart is, there is your God." You can also say, "That on which you trust, that is your God." Even those people who are very convinced that they do not believe in anything at all have faith. This became clear to me when I had a conversation with an atheist friend, and this friend of mine would contradict every word I said about creation and about the miracles of creation, of which many cannot be explained by science, would simply pose then the word of coincidence, saying that coincidence is the God of creation. I soon realized that this man must have or has a very strong faith in coincidence. And so I actually believe that every person has some sort of faith. Even if they say, "I have no faith," then it is faith in coincidence they have, or in other things on which they place their trust. In the Bible, when we talk about faith, the Old Testament talks about faith being the word being used there, amen, which means it is sure, it is completely trustworthy and strong. And faith, according to this word, means that we find a strong and sure foundation in God and in His word. And therefore also we, even to this day, use the word amen when we conclude our prayers, saying that this is sure, God is trustworthy, and we are placed on the sure foundation. Therefore, Deuteronomy 7 verse 9 says, "Know therefore that the Lord your God is God. He is the faithful God." However, people and their opinions and their political and cultural backgrounds are not trustworthy. And so, Psalm 103 verse 15 says, "The life of mortals is like grass. They flourish like a flower of the field. The wind blows over it, and it is gone, and it is, and its place remembers it no more." And so we can say that even those things that we mention as faith, or that we replace faith with, those things are all those that will disappear and will soon no longer be there. But God doesn't want us to remain in our own superimposed conceptions of faith. God doesn't want us to die in this kind of faith. Therefore, even the Psalm 103 continues to say, "But from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear him, and his righteousness with their children's children." How can it be then that a person can believe? And how can we then say in the apostolic confession of faith, "I believe"? How can it be that faith, which is actually only a part of God, can also be part of us, that I can say, "I believe"? As an example, I would like to pose the story of Zacchaeus. In the story of Zacchaeus, we can read the story in Luke chapter 19, verse 1 to 10. In this story, we can also say, we are not talking about an unfaithful Zacchaeus who then becomes faithful, but rather of a Zacchaeus who has his faith in the wrong things and then finds his way to the true faith. So let us look at the story of Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus, as the Bible says, was one of the highest tax collectors in his town. In those days, you will know that a tax collector had to basically cheat his own family and his own nation in order to survive. And if we can see that a tax collector becomes very rich, it means that he even cheated his own people more than was necessary. Perhaps we can compare Zacchaeus in this phase of his life with many people who will want to take anything and everything out of life, even though it could harm others. The over-exaggerated consume of things that belong to this world, regardless of what it causes to other people, this can destroy the soul. And even propaganda, or what we can say, even advertisements promise us happiness if we consume more and more and more. However, this is not the case. And in the story of Zacchaeus, we can see this happening also. Zacchaeus becomes rich, yes, but his soul is destroyed. And so he could not exist like this anymore. And in total hopelessness, he runs up a tree, sits there in sure distance from Jesus Christ. Yes, he wanted to see Jesus Christ, but only from a distance, from a tree. Many of the people that we can see in our time are much like Zacchaeus, because they also have nothing against God, nothing against Jesus at all. They find these Bible stories and They find the idea of God as something good, but from a sure distance. This is not faith. This is not faith at all. What becomes faith, we can only see as the story continues. Because when Jesus arrives, he immediately looks up to Zacchaeus and commands, "Come down, I would want to live with you today." And so Zacchaeus immediately comes down from the tree and joyfully accepts Jesus into his home. What we see happening here, that is faith. The big change comes in Zacchaeus' life when Jesus finds him at that place where he has hidden himself behind branches, or we can say in today's terminology, behind all those things that we have placed in front of us instead of faith. "I want to live with you today," says Jesus. Actually, we can say this word of Christ is the definition of faith. Faith is not a political conviction, not an ideology, not a feeling, not even some kind of moral duty that we have to fulfill. Faith is only possible then when Jesus comes to us, when God makes his home among us. And in this, Christianity is very different from all other religions. In all other religions, it is about doing things so that you would receive blessing back from God. Yes, there is Christians who have the same opinion, who think that even faith is some kind of duty that we need to fulfill. But faith is not some kind of deal that we make with God. Faith has to be sure. Faith has to be trustworthy. Faith has to be sure and trustworthy till eternity. And this kind of faith only God can give us. And in this way, then we can reiterate the words of Hebrews 12, verse 2, where it says, "Fixing our eyes on Jesus, who is the perfecter and the pioneer of faith." Jesus finds us, then yes, indeed, we can experience that which is called faith, and we can say with conviction in our hearts, "I believe." This faith really does change lives. It gives us a conviction of what is important and what is not as important in life. And this also we can see happening in the story of Zacchaeus again. Because we see, as the story continues, that Zacchaeus gives half of all his riches to the poor, and those people that he cheated before, he would give four times as much back. And Jesus confirms the faith of Zacchaeus, saying, "Today salvation has come to this house. And even Zacchaeus is Abraham's son, because the Son of God has come to his house and has come to find that which is lost and to save it." And in fact, when we will now continue with our conversations about the Apostolic Creed, we will talk about this root of God coming from heaven down to us and making it possible for us to say, "I believe."